Who is the greatest video game mascot of all time? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, and comic books, and occasionally, video games and video game mascots. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. And today, we have a very special guest, Miss Emma Fife. Say hi to the kids!
Hi, kids!
For those that may not be familiar with your work, who are you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so my name is Emma Fife. I am a longtime broadcaster in the online space, known for all things nerdy. Formerly, you may have seen me on places like Collider. I used to host Jedi Council and TV Talk over there. I've done stuff for Nerdist, doing Nerdist News Edition, covering things like Star Wars Celebration and the opening of Galaxy's Edge. And currently, I am a gaming content producer over at Fandom. Interestingly enough, my last really big project that came out that has my face on it is a drinking game for the Legend of Vox Machina animated series on Amazon, which is the animated show based on the long-running live play tabletop RPG series Critical Role.
There's another animated video game based show.
There's a bunch.
There's been an explosion of it.
There has, because there's a Cuphead show on Netflix.
Yeah.
Before that, there was the Dota animated series. And then also, of course, Arcane, the one based on League of Legends.
That's the one I was thinking
of. Let me be honest, I am not into League at all. Arcane is incredible.
Cool.
It's unbelievable. The animation, think Into the Spider-Verse levels of animation.
Cool.
It's just stunning. And the other thing I really appreciate about it is that it's very serious and adult, and it doesn't try to have any quippy dialogue or make fun of itself. It takes itself very seriously, but not in a cringy way.
Cool. Yeah, it's an interesting balance there to take the material seriously in a way that is still accessible. Because I feel like it's become really easy for genre media to make fun of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, but I still need to are there stakes in the story? I still need to be able to get invested in it. So
totally.
Roxy.
So DJ.
How much of that were you able to, cause I was, Emma was throwing stuff out there. I'm like, I'm barely able to keep up. How you doing over there?
So here's how word association worked in my head. I was like, Arcane, Arcadia, Joan of Arcadia, mm-hmm. Disturbia. It's like the darkness and then and that's where I was during that conversation. And but also I was thinking about how of all the guests we've ever had on the show, I think Emma did the best job describing what she does, where she's from, and where to find her.
Agreed.
Because she does it so often, because she's such a pro, people don't know how to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Emma was just, great question. Thanks so much for asking, DJ. Here are the 15 pictures that I am.
Yeah.
Awesome. I was like, yup, girl.
I was going to say, I think, Roxy, that you can relate because so much of my life, I feel like, is trying to explain my job to people, especially people that are not in the digital space at all. They're like, wait, so you're not on TV? And I'm like, no. Yeah. I was on TV semi-recently, though, because I did participate in the grown-up version of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why my answer now to that is sometimes.
Exactly. Sometimes. Occasionally.
Yeah, it could have happened. Who's to say?
So, who knows?
Who's to say? Rotten Tomatoes is sometimes on Peacock. Is that being on TV? Streaming? So I just say, sometimes you can find me a lot of places.
Yeah.
Over.
Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of finding things, you can find more content from this show, should you like it, over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. You can also review the show on iTunes. And if you listen to it on Spotify, we ask a question every week. Last week's question was, who do you think will be on Sony's Sinister Six? Ray Alvarez said Morbius, Vulture, and Kraven. Then probably Black Cat from Madame Web. Venom will be a reluctant member. And then if it's Garfield Spidey, they'll need to finish his arc with Dane DeHaan's Goblin. And my response to that is, do they? Do they need to? They could just, we could just move on. And Xavier Thomas, I just hope Sony doesn't decide to make their version full of C-list characters like Morbius. Keep holding out hope, Xavier. Emma, do you have an opinion on who may be in, because I'm sure you saw Morbius, why wouldn't you? Right. Do you, I'm sure you have an opinion on who might be in the, part of the Sinister Six.
I mean, I would love to see a reluctant Venom for sure, mm-hmm. just because I, look, y'all, you gotta get on board the Venom train, okay? If you're not, those movies slap, and this is why, because truly, it feels like, particularly the first Venom movie, and then when that did so well, they really leaned into that tone for the second one, it feels like that script was written in 2002,
mm-hmm.
and then they just made it
yeah.
in like 2017, whenever the first came out, Venom came out, 2018?
2018 was Venom 1, 2021 yeah. was well, Venom
we've
2.
We've been in this hellhole for 2 years.
No, I yes. have no concept of what year it is.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, and speaking of Venom, on Spider-Verse, our Patreon show that we do with Sal from Comic Pop, he and I just discussed Venom Let There Be Carnage. Those episodes will be dropping in the next couple weeks, and we're getting very close to Spider-Man No Way Home. With Spider-Verse, we do a really deep, like it takes me like 4 hours to make notes for those shows, and wow. I will tell you, that is not the ideal way to watch those Venom movies. It is better to just let them wash over you if you're like, totally. Wait, what the, why is this, what?
They're airplane movies, you know what yes. I mean? Like, they're great movies to watch on an airplane. And I think that in this world, we have shunned movies like that. Like, there doesn't seem to be any space anymore for a movie that's great to watch on TBS on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
And I think we need to reclaim that.
Yeah, we need to bring it back. We need to bring yeah. those afternoon TBS movies. What was yeah. When we were watching, so we're doing the Tom Holland Spider-Mans, and it's like, of course, with the promotion, they're like, oh, you know, like John Hughes movies. I'm like, that's not where you're pulling from. You're pulling from no. this is a teen comedy, like accepted, like something I would have
yes!
caught on an afternoon on Comedy Central.
Totally.
Yeah, that I'm like, go between ad breaks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, so before we get into our main topic today, which will be Sonic 2 and our favorite video game mascots, Roxy have one at the ready. Let's talk about some.
He's a video game mascot.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
I have five ready. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. A gamer.
I just looked up IGN's top 10 video game mascots. I'm ready wow. to go.
If you're pounding on the keyboard, it's just random time.
Here, but here's something, Roxy, I know you have opinions on. Because for those that don't know, you do like a daily show where you have to talk about entertainment stuff, and I know you've
I
talked
know where
about
this is
this.
Going,
we
DJ.
We talked about this last week, and we need, listen, what was that movie he was in? We need to talk about Kevin. We need to talk about Ezra Miller.
That's what I keep saying. I say we don't talk about Ezra. No, no, because then it's a messy internet out there, yo. And
it is.
And they have fans, mm-hmm. and they have enemies, and they are the Mad Goose Wizard.
Yeah.
And we know that you don't mess with the Mad
and
Goose
we don't mess
Wizard.
With the Mad Goose Wizard. Yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's like the internet's one of those, like, listen, Will Smith should go to prison for slapping Chris Rock. Ezra Miller literally told somebody he was going to murder them in their house. But listen, we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. Also, yeah. defend black women, but also Chris Brown has a new record. Have you heard it? And it's like, wait, what?
Oh, God.
I'm starting to think Twitter's not a good place for discourse. I'm kind of confused. The messaging There's is just, kind of confused here.
Well, Twitter just doesn't favor anything that is nuanced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the Will Smith situation is complicated
yeah.
and involves a lot of critical thinking and nuance. And Twitter doesn't. It just doesn't.
Yeah, it just can't. And it's also unfair of me because I'm treating it like a monolith, like the same right. person saying the same
yeah.
thing. And it's like different people. I'm just saying it's a hell site, and if I could leave it, I would. Anyway, Roxy, as Miss, so we don't.
What were you gonna call me, Miss? What
I was gonna say, but this is a good segue into how we're going to discuss this, and also mistakes I will probably make because we're doing this live. I was gonna say Mr. Ezra Miller.
Oh,
they prefer they them pronouns. No, I was yeah. gonna say yeah, they prefer they them pronouns. Yeah. Because I'm a dumb boy that's speaking off the top of my head. I will probably fuck this up, and I do apologize for that. But Ezra Miller. We yes. have not been talking about Ezra Miller. It does sound like Warner Brothers finally is like, well, we need to. we need to start having these conversations.
So it was weird the order in which we got information. So for anybody who is not up to date, the three incidents that took place were number one, Chokehold Gate, where Ezra took a woman by the throat and to the ground.
Yeah.
Half the world seems to think that that was a joke. Still half doesn't. Warner Brothers never addressed it.
Yes.
Then there was the Instagram video, which actually was not a crime. I guess you could call it a threat, but I don't think anybody here disagrees that we hate all sectors of the KKK.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of a red flag of like, why are you even addressing
why they
them?
Had beef with this specific sector, because you know what you did. That was a little confusing, but that took place. And then there was the most recent Hawaii incident, in which it's twofold. Number one, there was an incident at the house that Ezra was staying, where they went into the bedroom of a man and a woman at night, called the woman a slut, and mm-hmm. threatened to hurt them.
Yes.
And then there was the second part of that incident, which was at a karaoke bar, in which they ripped the microphone out of somebody's hand and then lunged at another person, and they were actually arrested after not accommodating the bar's requests to calm down.
Yeah.
And then their bail was set for $500, and of course they, surprise, surprise, reached their bail because...
Shocker. Well, and as the restraining order pointed out, he is wealthy and successful and could easily access a weapon.
Yeah.
He apparently still has the bow from We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, now what we have heard is that Warner Brothers had an emergency meeting, although that claim is still being reputed as well.
Oh, good.
Some people are saying Warner Brothers had an emergency meeting and they are putting all Ezra projects on hold. And some people are saying, that meeting never happened. Nothing's on hold. Who's not saying anything yet is Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. They're like, if we are having meetings, it is internal.
Yeah.
We do not speak to you guys. We are not addressing this. And I think that it's very clear that Warner Brothers was hoping that incident one was going to go away. Mm-hmm. And because incident one was brushed under the rug, incident two and three and who knows how many more will continue to happen. And so I think finally they are catching up. Warner Brothers is catching up too. We might need to do something here.
Yeah, there's too many bodies under that rug. It's getting hard to walk on.
But to what DJ was addressing earlier, the internet is a very strange place to be right now, because we're definitely holding different people to different standards.
Yeah.
And the discourse on Twitter, at least, about Ezra Miller seems to be they are suffering from mental health issues and they need help. And this is not a good time for us to punish somebody who has mental health issues.
Listen,
obviously, that's not everybody on Twitter, but that is the current state. And then the Will Smith part of this all is people saying, well, Will Smith hit somebody, Ezra choked somebody, why should Will Smith get his Oscar taken away, but Ezra is suffering from mental health, but we don't say that for Will.
Yeah.
And now you guys are all caught up. Thank you for coming to my talk, which I don't express my opinions. I just tell you what is happening.
Yeah. So, but that's smart of Roxy. I'm a dummy, so I'm going to express my opinions. One, I think saying, hey, maybe we need to slow down on projects with this person until they get whatever help they need. I don't think that's a punishment so much as just being pragmatic.
Yeah, I'm with you that.
Yeah.
For us to say that somebody doesn't get to be a movie star as in actively starring in movies while they are suffering from mental health issues, I don't find that to be a punishment either. But you know who does? A lot of Snyder Cut people. And I don't say that in it. You guys know I long time ago said the Snyder Cut didn't exist. I was wrong. That clip is everywhere on the internet. Thank you for letting it live in people's head for rent free. But I don't say that as in like all Snyder Cut people are saying one thing, but it does seem to be that Snyder's the fans of the Snyder movies are now full force backing Ezra.
Of course.
And saying they're fine. They have mental health issues, but that doesn't mean that the movie should be taken from them. Let them keep working.
So this is the thing is I assume that this is part and parcel for any time you have any sort of psych evaluation to potentially get on like antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication, whatever sort of medication you need to help with any mental health issues you may be having. So when I had a psych eval, I was basically told, like, we also are going to have to assess if you are in a state where you are fit to keep working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. It's not a punishment. It's part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just, it just is what it is. And also, again, just trying to be pragmatic about it, Barry Allen's most famous story is him dying and not coming back. So I'm just saying there's an out. There's an out is all I'm saying. It looks like need some help. I think in a studio. Listen, we just got fucking stories about Jared Leto forcing people to wheel him to the fucking bathroom, man. I think we need to fucking rein it in, man. We need to make these sets a better place for the people working there. For fuck's sake.
It's also challenging because, Emma, for you, I feel, and for me, anytime I've had to do something, it does feel like we're working with people who genuinely want to get to the bottom of things and get the answer that is best for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When you are a massive movie star, the show must go on, mm-hmm. is how yeah. most people on set are. And so there's been a lot of rumors that have come out that Ezra was having mental breakdowns on set every day.
Yeah.
And that they were not well on set. And I'm sure you're right, Emma, that there is some kind of eval, even because when you do health screenings,
yeah.
you have to do physical health screenings, you have to do mental health, you have to do the whole thing. It sounds to me like even if there was an eval, that eval was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like all gravy, you know?
It's, I mean, it's the whole paradox of capitalism. And if you are rich, the rules don't apply to you.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you all are bringing up, you're touching on an important point too, that it is probably not in Ezra's best interest if
right.
we just move on business as usual.
Yes.
Like it's probably not the most beneficial for them. So let's, maybe just, you know, again, they can afford it. They can afford to get the help, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's go to a quick ad break, and then we're going to come back to talk about, do a little bit more news, the fact that E3 has been canceled this year. Oh my goodness.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
We are back, Emma. So grateful you're here today. News that I wanted to discuss, because I don't quite know the implications of this. E3, famous video game expo, is not happening this year. Not a digital thing. No things.
Yeah.
Why? And is this cause for E3 fans out there? Is this a cause for future concern?
So E3 is one of the first big events that got canceled in 2020. They canceled really early on once everything started locking down. And at the time, we hadn't quite figured out making the shift to these digital conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not surprising to anybody, I think, that E3 got its cancellation so early, because you have to think about the number of international companies that are represented there. Because yeah. this is the thing, is for many, 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 many years, E3 was a trade show. Mm-hmm. So you could only attend E3 as press, or if you were associated with some kind of game that was happening there, and if you were an invited guest.
Yeah.
The way E3 has worked for a really long time is basically that you have all of the press conferences, and the press conferences got to a point where, you know, all the individual companies like Xbox, Bethesda, Blizzard, Square Enix, Nintendo, they would do these press conferences that didn't take place like within the convention center. They took place at like the Microsoft Theater or other theaters downtown. And those press conferences were streamed. So the audience, you know, so people were able to kind of ingest that even without physically being at E3. Yeah. It was still very cool to go to the press conferences. Like, I got invited to Square Enix's press conference in 2019. Mm-hmm. I was like, when was the last time E3 happened? Real? 2019. And that was super cool. So then...
Just pausing for 1 second, because I genuinely don't know. Is this, like, at a convention center? Like,
yeah, it's at LA. Yeah, it's at LACC.
And every year it's at the same place?
It's always been at LA Convention Center for as long as I can recall, anyway.
Which is great for traffic.
Great for traffic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the first time I did E3 was, like, 2012. And I was actually working an offsite for a PC game called Hawken. Mm-hmm. And we didn't actually have badges to the convention because we were working an offsite. Yeah. But one of the women who was working this event with me was, like, clearly a very, like, free spirit. She just worked events all the time, did whatever. And I guess she had worked with Snoop Dogg at one point. Jeez. So she's said, okay, we're going to go over to the convention center and we're just going to sneak in. It's going to be fine. So we go over, and as we are approaching the doors, because at that point they didn't check badges outside the doors. They only checked your badges as you went. You know how at LA Convention Center, there's those steps when you first go in, and then there's the glass doors that lead into the actual expo hall. So that were the exhibit hall. So that was where they were checking badges. So she and I roll up, and as we're coming up, that was the year that Snoop Dogg was in one of the Tekken games.
I did not know he was in one of the Tekken games.
Snoop's in one of the Tekken games. And so I literally snuck into E3 with Snoop.
That's so funny.
Entourage.
That's so fucking funny.
It was great. But anyway, Does he know? I don't know. I'm going to tell him whenever I interview him, because I'm sure I will at some point in my career.
Thank you for getting me into E3. Yeah. And he's looking all confused, and you're like, you don't remember that?
But yeah, I mean, so again, in 2021, so last year, E3 did attempt to pivot to a digital event, and it was exhausting. Mm-hmm. It was 3 days of just trailers, basically, and occasionally they would cut over to their sort of panel of hosts to fill time, but they hadn't really planned any programming very well. There were a couple of panels, but people just wanted to be there for the game reveals, and the other part of E3, in addition to all the press conferences, was being able to get those hands-on previews with the games themselves, which is possible in a virtual sort of setting, but it takes a lot of organization. Like, I've done some demos virtually, and, you know, you connect on Discord and you use Parsec to connect to an outside server, and then they feed the game to your computer, and et cetera, et cetera. So it is very, very involved to do those kind of previews. So there was just no good way to kind of recreate the E3 experience. And then it does also bring up the other thing about E3, which is that it has only been open to the public since, I think, 2018 was maybe the first year that you were able to actually, like, buy a badge, and it was treated more like a convention rather than a trade show. And again, it's like people for a long time were able to at least watch the streams of the press conferences. And I think that what's happened is that all of these companies, and it's similar to San Diego Comic-Con, where a lot of the big presenters were starting to pull away from E3 even prior to the pandemic and just do their own events.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, it's the same, again, it's like the same thing that's happening with San Diego Comic-Con, where I think a lot of these companies are finding that, oh, well, if we just do our own thing and we broadcast it, we're going to get more eyes on it that way anyway. And isn't it more fun to have these big reveals going out directly to fans? Like, obviously you want the press coverage, but you get more eyes on it and you get more hype when you can have fans involved. And for a long time, that wasn't the case with E3. So, you know, especially when you compare it to other big gaming conventions like the PAX conventions, they've allowed fans forever. And so it's
what
always
is the PAX convention.
So PAX is another big gaming convention. So there's PAX East, which is in a couple of weeks in Boston, PAX West, which happens in Seattle, usually, I want to say.
PAX,
yeah. And so, like, that also had the big E3 vibes to it previously. Now, PAX has come back in person, but it's definitely very, very pared down. And again, a lot of those big AAA companies are not presenting anything there. They are not having booths there. And that, I think, is like, the biggest bummer is, like, the E3 booth setup was dope. I remember,
cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. Like, they built, I remember in 2019, Nintendo was presenting Luigi's Mansion. They were presenting Pokemon Sword and Shield. And
I think that's the one. I think that's, no, I went the year, sorry to cut you off. I apologize.
Oh, no,
one
it's
of the,
okay.
The one, I think the one year I went was like Pokemon X and Y. I think that was the first year.
Yeah.
I was working in post. It ended up being, at the first, it was like, this is the promised land. And then I ended up being shoved in a room, hunched over, editing stuff on the thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? But as a kid, I'd been dreaming of E3.
Oh, God, me too.
Yeah.
Because I used to read the coverage of it in, like, you know, EGM, Electronics Gaming Monthly, and I always wanted to go, and then I finally did get to start going once I started, you know, working in media out in Los Angeles. And, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you definitely see a lot of people in games journalism that are going, I won't miss E3 at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I get that, but at the same time, like, because it is, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of running around, but also, I think that people who are in media can be very jaded about stuff and
what?
Like lose
when
the fan, I know. and lose the fan perspective.
Yeah.
There were people that were grumpy about the fact that fans were able to come to E3 because it, and look, I get it, because in 2012, I remember the first time I was there, I could just walk up and play basically whatever game because, again, it was so limited who was able to attend. But now it's a lot of juggling, making press appointments. It's tough to navigate the floor because there are so many people. But at the same time, you know, people who were able to buy badges are just so grateful to be there and to get to play anything. Like, they're happy to go stand in line for hours and hours and hours. Again, it's... I think that as far as this is where the paradox happens for me is that all of these companies have made this pivot. Obviously, PlayStation does their State of Play update streams. Nintendo has been doing their Nintendo Directs for a really long time, like even outside of E3 prior to any of the shutting down of things. So the issue becomes when it's easier for these companies to not spend a bunch of money to do a big press conference and to just do these online broadcasts, how do we then preserve the thrill of walking into the convention center and seeing a giant dragon from Monster Hunter along with some cute little palicos and also, you know, full-size statues of all the starter Pokemon. Because it's like you're not going to get these companies to come out to these events.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it's about getting the news out there and getting fans hyped, and it's more accessible to do that in an online space.
Yeah. Yeah, so and also, Emma, you're forgetting the most important thing that was marketed to me as an adolescent boy, the booth babes. Come on.
The booth babes.
Nothing problematic
booth
there.
Booth babes have been gone for a while at E3,
what,
actually.
Why?
I have to tell you that it is actually sort of a bummer because I think that, you know, my experience has been that a lot of the girls that did work those booths, like, they genuinely wanted to be there. Like,
yeah, that is an interesting point, because a lot of the ones I talked to as well, it seemed to be a genuinely positive experience.
Oh,
I don't know that they would tell me if it wasn't, but that seems to be the...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
but that was just like women that were attractive would be standing by the booths.
Yeah, yes. Usually in some sort of outfit that either had to do with the game or the company that was on the revealing side.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to say, at least from an outsider perspective, that obviously does not predate cosplay culture. But I do have to wonder in the way that that stuff kind of got I assimilated stuff. I wonder if that was a big part of like mainstreaming it. Because I knew I was aware. Oh, I wonder why. I was aware of the concept of booth babe before the concept of cosplay.
Yeah, before cosplayers. Yeah, I think I was too. I think that maybe it's just because it got more mainstream coverage.
Yeah.
Because again, like E3 was heavily covered in magazine publications. Because
yes.
I remember reading all about it and being enamored and wanting to go so badly because I loved video games.
Yeah.
And so to me, booth babe seemed like a great gig.
So we have a question from the Discord, Jake Hafner. Do you think E3 being totally canceled this year without even a digital event is the final nail in the coffin? Do you think it should be? Do you think E3 actually comes back next year? To boil that down, is this a sign of the end, or is it just like, hey, just this year and we'll be back better than ever in the future?
I don't know, if I'm being totally honest. It's really interesting. I'm leaning more towards it's not going to happen ever again, which is really sad. But it's an ongoing struggle, I think, in the convention world in general, which is that the people who really benefit from these big conventions are small vendors because it gives them an opportunity to like physically have what they're selling in front of people's eyes.
Yeah.
And E3's not really selling anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just come see our games.
Yeah.
And so while I think that the convention that has vendors and Artist Alley and things like that, there is a real need for that. Because again, I think that those are the people who were really hit hardest by the pandemic and not being able to physically go sell their stuff in person. Because again, you're just in a place where people are walking by what you have. And so they're seeing it and they're buying stuff.
Yeah.
I think if E3 comes back, it'll end up looking more like a PAX or an Anime Expo, where, yes, it is a big trade show, but we're now also going to incorporate, you know, more sort of vendory kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's when you were talking about it, you're like, well, it benefits the little guy most. Like, oh yeah, it's done. Okay. Well, then it's because that's not the world we live in right now. Fuck the little guy. What were you going to say, Roxy?
So do you think that it's business wise not a smart move because they're losing money or because there's just ways?
I think it's really expensive for them to do this event. I'm sure that the convention center charges an arm and a leg for floor space.
Yeah.
Funding it?
I think
E3?
Yeah, I think it's just because you're paying. I would have to imagine you're paying for your booths and everything and all that stuff. So I'm imagining it's kind of like collectively the game.
Puts on E3?
I don't know.
I don't know exactly. I mean, again, it's like I've always just associated it with this big trade show.
It's probably similar. I would imagine.
Their website says "see you next year."
I imagine it's similar to something like Comic-Con, where there's this trade organization, organization runs E3, and then the companies that are participating, which is why it's probably a bigger deal that like Nintendo and PlayStation, Microsoft are pulling out doing their own things, just like. If Comic-Con loses DC to their fandom events, which their fandom events are actually really good.
Fandom events are actually really excellent.
Yeah, they're really good. So it's a bummer because it's like I like the concept of Comic-Con because to me that's the closest association. It's like the Comic-Con losing stuff like DC and Marvel. It's like Comic-Con won't be what it was because you won't have Marvel and DC shelling out the bucks to do the stuff they do. But I imagine even though how they engage with the audience is different. I imagine the organizational structure is the same. So Bummer. R.I.P. E3. Yeah. Maybe. Fingers crossed. Maybe.
Maybe yes, next year. They claim they're coming back next year.
Was it WonderCon this weekend? I had a bunch of friends like, we're going to WonderCon. Are you coming? I'm like, fuck no, I'm not coming. Fucking conventions were a fucking germ factory before the pandemic. You're going to have to give me a couple years before I hit a convention floor. Are you kidding me? Sorry. So hopefully not the end of E3. Hopefully it evolves and grows bigger. And also, hopefully the socioeconomic system changes a little bit to benefit the little guy more. I don't need to get into that. Everybody gets mad when I start talking about political stuff. I'm sorry. It impacts every aspect of our lives. So before we go to our next ad break, I want to talk about Mr. Sonic the Hedgehog. I am the only one here that has actually seen the movie, which is fine. Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I was excited to go see it, not because I love the previous movie. I didn't. But
I didn't either.
I liked it a lot.
But here's the thing. As a little boy, DJ really liked Knuckles a lot as a character. I have a little, I don't know where it is right now, I have a little Knuckles action figure.
Nice.
And when they were like, Idris Elba, I'm like, what, fucking Idris Elba is slumming it in a Sonic movie? And then I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is dope. And so I hit up our Paramount contact, and I'm like, I promise I'll cover it on the show, can I go? So like the previous movie, this mm-hmm. film is aggressively targeting young children. This isn't like a Pixar all ages thing. This is young kids that will laugh at farts situation. And like the Sonic 1 screening, like they're bringing in parents are bringing in their kids, which is really cool. I will say it is a little confusing in that I don't think Sonic's popularity has ever matched when I was a kid in the 90s.
Yeah.
So it's like, should this be I'm not asking for like a dark and gritty Sonic reboot, but I feel like it should be a little bit more accommodating to people my age because we're the ones spending the money to go see this.
I mean, I guess maybe their goal is to get kids interested in Sonic, but when was the last time there was a good Sonic game?
I'm super not with what you're saying right now. Because the thing is, first of all, it's always going to be the adults that are spending money. Kids don't have money to spend.
True.
I don't know. But those Kardashian kids had money.
It's not like a Lizzie McGuire situation where they're like, okay, we're going to take the character that you knew and loved as a kid, and then we're going to age them up to your age because they're a real person, and then we're going to make them have to do something like they're still a little kid for the kids.
No, I think that what I envision more and like what DJ is saying is something that is a little bit more of a universal appeal a la Pixar or Avatar The Last Airbender.
Good examples both. I'll put it this way, Roxy. There is a whole subplot in this movie involving Natasha Rothwell, who's amazing. She's amazing in Insecure. She's amazing in White Lotus. She's incredible. I love her. But there's a whole subplot involving her wedding. She's James Marsden's sister-in-law. And there's like none of the... Sonic isn't involved. Tails isn't involved. Knuckles isn't involved. It's just a whole... Like, we spend like 20 minutes on this. And I'm like, what?
I'm not mad at that. You know I'm a lover of love, a shipper of ships. I think it's okay for some movies to be for kids. Even if it's properties that you loved as a kid, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not against it. And here's what I will say. This movie does something very smart because... Yeah, light spoilers. Sorry, light spoilers.
Spoil the end. I keep seeing people online being like, that ending reveal, is that what you're about to do?
Not the reveal. I won't give the reveal. And because you're interested, I won't reveal a plot. But basically, it's Sonic and his friends versus Eggman and a giant robot. And it's like, oh, this is the movie I signed up for. And so like the last 30 minutes is the Sonic movie I want. And so when I left the theater, there's all the fan service-y shit. And so I left the theater, I'm like, that movie was fucking great. And then when I was in the bathroom, you know, you do your post-movie bathroom, I was like, no, it wasn't. But the two things, that last 30 minutes, fuck yeah. Also, as a Knuckles fan, oh, fuck, Idris Elba's Knuckles is so fucking cool. Oh, fuck, it's so cool. And it's so cool after like...
Okay.
We don't need to get into this, but after like a week of like Moon Knight and being like, this is not the character, this is not who that is, it was like, oh, at least the Sonic movie gets it. And they're like, hey, you know Knuckles, here he is. And it's like, yeah, this is all I wanted. This is what works. It's awesome. And he's so good. And it's, I still don't know why Idris Elba did this. I don't know. I don't know what they did to convince him. I don't know how much money they gave him. I don't know if his kids are fans. I don't know. Like, that's what I have to imagine. He went and saw the first Sonic movie with his kids, and they're like, oh, and he's like, oh, cool. Well, this is a good end. Whatever happened, whatever deal with the devil was made to get Idris Elba in this movie, I support it. I ended up enjoying it more than the first. Anytime like there's a human person on screen, I was like, wow, I don't care about this movie. And there is one funny joke where, so I was talking about the subplot with Natasha Rothwell getting married, and the person she's getting married to was played by Shamar Moore, who is a very beautiful man. He's a very fit man. And so there's a bit, and it's a bit like James Marsden feels insecure. Like he's got, Shamar Moore has his shirt off and he flexes, and James Marsden's like, oh yeah. And he kind of like flexes as if he's a dweeb. And it's like, motherfucker, I can see your pecs through that shirt. You're not fooling anybody. You are in movie star shape. Don't fucking pretend like somehow this is a beautiful man, but don't pretend like you are not in fucking Olympic shape. All right. Anyway, those are my thoughts on
Sonic. How many movies is James Marsden in with CGI creatures?
I don't know, but I'm going to be, we should bring him out of CG creature jail. Cause he doesn't need to be in this movie, but he's like really good in it. And it's like fucking,
he's a good actor. I like James Marsden. Is good.
We should use him more. Why don't he was in like, I think
he was only great
maybe he has kids and then he likes to do these types of movies that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
follow what your family would watch. I am just making that up though. Let me look.
Well, 100%. Even if that's the case, it's like, no, do these movies, get that paycheck. But also like, he was in the first season of Westworld. Like he should be in like other, he's like really good. He should be in more things.
He's got three kids.
Yeah.
Good for him.
That's what's happening.
So we got a couple questions in the chat. Leonard Kim said, did they do a good job introducing Tails and Knuckles? I would say they did a really good job with Knuckles. Tails is good, but it's more just of like, why are you here? And it's like, okay, all right, whatever. Who gives a shit? Yeah. Roxy, I think this might be a good one for you. What do you think sets Sonic apart from the other video game adaptations that makes it work for audiences in general? And I think Em and I were both pretty clear, like, we could take it or leave it. There's stuff we like, but you know, whatever. You're a fan, so what do you think sets this apart from other video game adaptations?
I don't think I would say that I would set it apart.
You think it's in line?
Yeah, kind of. yeah. But I just didn't dislike it. I thought it was cute. It was funny. It was sweet. It didn't piss me off at any point.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike the initial Sonic design. And so I don't know what everybody was talking about.
It's
like,
so fucking funny. I sometimes post a GIF on the Discord where I'm like, this is what we're talking about. I'll put like a GIF of a thing. And I was like, I have to get the original design. I'm like, and I hadn't seen it in 2 years. I'm like, what the fuck were they thinking? What were they thinking?
I feel very grateful that I've had a very challenging life, because sometimes it makes me really like things that other people don't like, because I don't care about the things that other people care about. Mm-hmm. And so I look at this and I was like, did I go to the movies to see the masterpiece of all masterpieces? No. Like, I'm just not going to be somebody who's on the internet like, you ruined my childhood because Sonic doesn't have teeth that.
Yeah.
No, not that you guys are.
No, of course. Yeah.
Just so for me, like, what sets it apart? Probably nothing. probably nothing. I wouldn't be like, this movie was so unique.
Mm-hmm.
I just was like, I kind of dug the story.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun. Look, we had fun.
I saw it under horrible circumstances, which is I went at, I think, 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon at City Walk. This was the original Sonic. Mm-hmm. And you would think we were at a rowdy screening of Cats, for instead of rowdy drunk adults, it was just children who were yelling lines at the movie, running around in the aisles. Their parents just decided that for the 90 minutes of the Sonic movie, they did not have to parent their children.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I had a terrible time, but those kids had a great time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like, it sounds like a good time to me. I get why it wasn't for you, but I was like, yeah.
But the children were having fun, and it's a kids' movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they will probably have fun with this one too.
Majority kids?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, and again, listen, I am all for, this is not necessarily my favorite representation of Sonic. There's a Saturday morning cartoon I grew up with that I think still holds up and very good. But I'm all for people being fans of Sonic. And again, I got a pretty fucking cool Knuckles in a movie, so I'm not complaining. And also Paramount has said, like, we might be working on a Knuckles show with Idris Elba on Paramount Plus. And I will fucking watch that shit. I will fucking watch it. So we're going to go on another ad break, and we're going to broaden our discussion to video game mascots.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, we are back, and I have not given Roxy time to Google what video game mascots are. Off the top of your head, Roxy, what do you think a video game mascot is?
I would think it's like, okay, I'm a big sports fan.
Yeah.
So I understand what all mascot is.
We're on the right track.
So I feel like it would be like, if it's Zelda, it would be Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something like
Mario. It's Mario. Maybe.
Yeah, well, Mario is definitely Mario.
Yeah, Mario, it is definitely Mario. And Sonic was created as a.
Wait, isn't Zelda's name Link or something?
It is.
No, Zelda is a different person than Link.
Yeah, exactly. Link is the main character in the Zelda games. And there is a Zelda in the Zelda games. Emma, you want to take a crack at a brief history of video game mascots?
Yeah, so video game mascots are basically characters that are iconically associated with a game itself.
Yeah.
As we've gotten into more sort of realism in video games, often games will have mascots that are not the main character. They will create some sort of animal kind of thing. And the thing that's interesting, true, too, is that all the individual consoles for a time kind of had a single mascot that was associated with them. So, for example, obviously, Mario, for a long time until the advent
Nintendo.
Of Pokemon, yeah, exactly, was very much Nintendo's mascot. And Sonic was absolutely created it as a sort of direct competitor Sega to Mario.
Yep,
so Mario was iconically associated with the Nintendo Entertainment System, or the Super Famicom, or the Famicom as it was called in Japan. And so then Sega came along and went, okay, all of Sega's branding was very much, hey, we're like the cool teen system and not this lame plumber that was once a carpenter.
Okay, yeah, we're cool. Okay. We're edgy. We put X's in words that don't need it. That's
yeah,
what we're
exactly.
And guess what? That fucking branding worked on me. Young DJ growing up in the 90s was a big fan. Sonic was cool. Mario was lame.
Oh,
but
yeah,
to the point, Roxy, that like you could see the Sega logo and you're like, Sega. Or you can see, like, especially there was like a stylized version of Sonic. You're like, Sega. Like, it was functionally the same thing.
And Sonic couldn't be on Nintendo or could, just wasn't.
Could not at the time because they were competing systems. And unfortunately, RIP, Sega no longer makes systems. And I'm going to be candid, as a fan that would have liked to see those characters cross over, it's only been in like Olympic Games or like Smash Brothers. I'd like to see like a genuine narrative title
Sonic
where the two
Mario team up.
Yes. Yes, please and thank you.
Because now it's Sonic with Nintendo?
So Sega licenses their games to a bunch of different consoles. But by and large,
yeah, because
Sonic is mostly on Nintendo.
Because Nintendo Nintendo targets more family-friendly with Mario and Pokemon and stuff like that. Their games tend to steer towards more family-friendly, all-ages stuff, which is also Sonic's wheelhouse.
I guess I'm so ignorant that I actually don't know what Nintendo is in terms of, like, or Sega. Those are companies or systems?
Companies. That also, at points, Nintendo still to this day makes consoles. Sega no longer makes consoles.
So Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo are all different things.
They're all different things.
Wow.
And all of them are. So Xbox is a console that is made by Microsoft. PlayStation is a console that is made by Sony.
Yeah.
All of Nintendo's systems have been called Nintendo something.
Yeah.
And same with Sega when they were making systems. It was like Sega Genesis, Sega CDX, 32X,
Sega CD, and then Sega Saturn.
Sega Saturn. I forgot about Saturn.
Those companies own the thing. So like if you are Zelda, you can only be on one of those consoles because you're owned by a certain person or no?
Yes.
Well, yes, in the case of Zelda. Mm-hmm. So Nintendo is very precious about their properties. Most Nintendo properties, so things like Mario, Zelda, Pokemon are only on Nintendo consoles.
Which I think is smart on their part.
Yeah, exactly. No. And like Kirby and Metroid, a bunch of things. And then there are a bunch of other publishers outside of these actual game. So all of these companies have like games publishing divisions. So Nintendo publishes the vast majority of their own titles, though they also get a bunch of third-party titles, and third-party titles are typically available on everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is what Sega is now.
So Sega's a third-party producer at this point, basically. Yeah. Third-party distributor, developer, publisher.
Huh. And Nintendo is Switch?
Yeah, yes. That's their current console is the Switch.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. It's a whole world.
Yeah.
It is.
Emma,
I feel like I'm asking questions like, so you're telling me that the overarching is comic book, but then there's a Marvel and then there's a DC.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that's what you're saying. That is kind of what you're saying. Yeah. But I genuinely
just don't know. I never played.
And it's just a different kind of ecosystem. But I will say there is the power in that branding because you do know who Mario is and you do know who Sonic is. So they're doing something that works. We did have a couple in the Discord. I asked what people's favorite video game mascots were. Jake Hefner says Kirby for Nintendo, Ratchet and Clank for PlayStation, and Marcus Fenix for Xbox. Kind of to your point, Emma, how things have evolved to where like it's more realistic. So now, like when you think of Xbox, you think of dude in the space armor.
I think of Master Chief.
Yeah,
you know?
I think of Master Chief. Yeah, I was like when he said Marcus Fenix, I was like, Gears of War. That's what we're talking about. Glenn Caesar said either Sonic or Ryu from Street Fighter.
Yep. Yeah, Ryu from Street Fighter is definitely considered to be Street Fighter's mascot.
Yeah, it's one of those when you and I think that's the thing, Roxy. It's normally what's the first think of when you think of the thing. So Street Fighter's like, well, Ryu, maybe Ken, but like Ryu's like the one. Leonard Kim, it's a tie between Pikachu and Kratos. He's like, yes, quite the stark contrast between the two.
I know.
if we ever got a team up of the two, it's a wrap. Game over.
Oh my god!
Like, how do you?
I just want Pikachu to be in God of War now.
Yeah.
How do you know it's Pikachu and not Ash? Like, that's the mascot.
Because Pikachu's a cute little animal. And and also the main trainer in Pokemon changes across games, and Pikachu's always the same.
Yeah, it's like
Ash isn't always there.
No. Ash even technically in the first game.
Yeah, he's technically not. He's technically only the main character of the anime series because even in some of the manga, it's Red.
Yeah, the longest lived 10-year-old in history.
Yeah.
He's been 10 for 20 fucking years.
I know, so ridiculous.
Son of a bitch. So, Roxy, as we're talking about these names, are any of them standing out to you? Like, oh, yeah.
Well, because I used to play some stuff with my brother. That's why I was like, wait, I think Zelda wasn't that dude's name that I was using. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, the only names that like are, I don't want to say household because if you know anything about gaming, I'm sure tons of these are household. But like, it's Mario, you know, like, that's the one
voiced by Chris Pratt.
Because I can also who else is he voicing? In
Garfield. It's like what the fuck is happening? Is it like fucking Infinity Stones? Like he needs to collect them all. What the fuck is happening?
No, I think that he has some major dirt on somebody. I genuinely think like he must know something.
It's the Ansel Elgort effect. It's like, what the fuck does Ansel Elgort have?
I know. Yeah,
I think he's like, I've been outed for the church I go to. I know every one of you execs who's at that church.
That's a good theory.
It's gotta be something I don't even dislike Chris Pratt the way that other people dislike him.
I'm whatever about him.
Yeah.
However, the roles that he's getting are not roles fit for him.
Exactly.
And it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So there's something up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Or some of these execs saw Lego. That was like the only movie they saw in the past 5 years was Lego Movie, and they're like, "This guy's the guy." Because I'm with you, Roxy. It's like I don't hate him, but like Garfield, Mario, like what the fuck are you talking about?
And you know he's not auditioning. It's not like he's like blowing them away.
No. He's not asking for these roles. They're being offered to him. Like, you know, you get to a certain level.
You know who would be a great Garfield and possibly a great Mario? Steve Buscemi. You get Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi. Oh my God.
That would be interesting.
I think he'd be a great Garfield for sure.
Yeah.
I think of like Josh Gad or somebody that what I don't think of. There's so many people I could think of who I don't think of as Chris Pratt. So something's up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, for household names. But I also like remember all of the, I don't know what these characters are called. I'm guessing now they're just called Nintendo characters, but like Peach and Daisy and Yoshi and what about like Kirby?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, Kirby counts for sure.
Anybody that shows up in a Smash Bros.
Yeah. That is kind of just mascot battle royale.
Yes.
Or what was homeboy's name? Like Baltazar?
Bowser. I wish he was named Baltazar.
Bowser was a crazy kid.
Yeah.
So I remember him, Toad.
Yeah.
Legit, like, that's it.
Yeah.
I could think of like maybe three.
I mean,
what I'm hearing is Roxy played Mario Kart with her brother. That's what I'm hearing. And, and those are all mascots.
Mortal Kombat.
Sure.
Yeah. Scorpion and Sub-Zero are mascots for Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Sub-Zero.
Yeah. And I played a lot of sports games. So like I remember on the cover, what was it like NBA? This can't be what it was at the time, but like I was going to say 2K Live, but I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
Where it was Jason Kidd and Grant Hill.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're a real human if you can be a mascot. So probably not how it works.
Yeah. Sports games are in a weird category because they are based on a real life thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Emma, for you, do you have like an all time like video game mascot, ride or die?
Oh man. I mean, I was definitely very much a Sonic kid growing up. Played a lot of Sonic 2 specifically on the Sega Genesis.
I have such fond memories of the Sonic and Knuckles cartridge that you could pop open and put the other cartridge on top.
Oh my god, and you put the other cartridge in it. No. Yes. Oh my god, it was so cool. But I think that somebody who's being overlooked, unless, you know, somebody has since chimed in on Discord and said otherwise, is Crash Bandicoot.
Hell yeah.
Crash Bandicoot.
That sounds like something I might have known at some point in my life.
Yeah. He was kind of the OG Sony PlayStation mascot, I would say.
It's so weird that he basically got, because we had in the Discord, somebody mentioned Kratos, and it's like, it's so weird that that's like game mascots are now.
Donkey Kong. I loved Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong's great.
That's the thing when the jumping over the
Rare back in the good days. Oh, the Rare when Rare was king of the castle. Man.
Yeah, I'm a big Final Fantasy kid, so I love. I can't decide if I like Moogles or Chocobos better, but they're both great mascots.
I was going to ask you. It's like because I couldn't remember the names. I'm glad you said them. Would this is probably such a silly question. Would Cloud count as a mascot for Final Fantasy?
I think he does now, because his character design is so recognizable, and
so
also he's also appeared in like Chocobo Racing, which is all sort of Final Fantasy icon mascots racing. Like, it's, you know, it's the Mario Kart of Square Enix. So it's, you know, it's Black Mages and White Mages and Chocobos and Moogles and Cloud Strife, all just, and Cactuars, like, all racing.
Well,
so.
And did Cloud, I'm sorry, I didn't get, what's the most recent Smash Brothers? Is it not Brawl?
He's in Smash.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, once you're in Smash, you're one of the, it's like Snake. Snake is a mascot.
And totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cloud and Sephiroth are both in Smash. So.
Yeah, and it's so funny because it's just so funny how they became so iconic, even though those games completely reboot themselves every time. No, but I'm with you. I grew up, I know Sonic is my ride or die because, like you mentioned, there's not been a good Sonic game in ages, and the Sonic movies are bad. But I'll still go see it because I like the. I not only played the games, there was a long running Archie comic that I got, like, I followed for a long time. The Knuckles spinoff. I picked them all up.
Yeah.
So I know. I will say we're in the chat right now. Glenn Caesar saying Donkey Kong 2. Kayla Marie says the cutest boy ever, Mario. Glenn Caesar, Pikachu's awesome too. And I do. Yeah. I don't know. Like if Pikachu's my go-to, but like I have a lot of fondness for Pokemon.
Yeah,
that chewed up a big part of my youth. And Leonard Kim.
Yeah,
speaking of underrepresented, I think Spyro is criminally underrated.
Oh yeah, Spyro definitely is like early PlayStation mascot as well.
Yeah, it is interesting how like in those early days, like, well, we need a Mario. And now it's like, no, we got Kratos and we've got Nathan Drake
exactly.
And we've got.
Yeah, it is really interesting because I would say that, you know, going into the early years of Sony PlayStation, Crash Bandicoot was their. That was their platformer game with a mascot character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Roxy, what do you think a platformer is?
Platformer. I also want to know you guys are saying it so quickly. Is it Bandicoot?
Yes.
Bandicoot. Yeah.
Which is a type of animal.
Bandicoot.
Yeah. Which is it's a real animal.
What do I think platformer is?
Yeah.
I think it's somebody who has, you know, like you, if you're somebody who is on Twitter and Instagram, you have a lot of platforms. You're somebody who has all the consoles, they're a platformer.
Totally.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Boom.
And that is fact.
Yeah, that is on dictionary.com.
So whatever it is, what I said is what it is.
It is what it is now. It is, it is what it is now.
Or like maybe there's a lot of platforms in the games.
Boom. Nailed it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. A big mechanic of the game is jumping between platforms.
Wow. Yeah. I've done that so many times. I fall a lot.
Yes.
You know what I always liked doing? When there would be like seven different lands you could pick between.
Mm-hmm.
I liked picking the land. My brother would let me do that.
That sounds like brother stuff. I feel like I did that with my sister too.
I wouldn't let him do any of the other stuff, but he'd be like, you get to pick where we're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, ooh, like, Frosteen Town or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what that's called. I'm like, it looks like that. It's got like frosted tips on top of gumdrops or whatever. Yeah, that was my move. It must be really interesting for gamers to listen to me talk about how I like play games.
Oh man, no, it's funny. I remember doing the same thing with my sister, and then she became way better at video games than I ever was. So that's those are our thoughts. Kim Marie says we should get her into Animal Crossing or something. I don't know. That might be too much.
Oh my God, that's a huge time commitment.
I was going to say that might be too much. Even I don't go into Animal Crossing. Emma, thank you for joining us to talk about this. It's so great having you on. Before we go, remind the kids where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife. Emma Fife on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch when I occasionally stream. That's me.
It's so easy when the name is the, you know, because I when I tag posts, it's always like, wait, is there a thing? Because like with me, it's not my name, so it's like, is there a thing?
Yeah.
Is there like a bit in there?
Yeah, but also DJ, I don't know if you accurately represent yourself anymore.
What do you mean?
DJ talks trash. I feel like you talk a lot of love too.
Thank you. Listen, I appreciate that. I don't know that it's true, but I do appreciate it. I feel like I've been on a big Moon Knight tear on Twitter recently.
That you're talking trash about. But oftentimes you like things and you say how much you like them.
I try really hard. I exert a lot of effort to not be so negative, even though I don't like most things.
Change it to DJ sometimes talks trash, other times talks truth.
DJ.
Very good handle.
DJ talks truth.
DJ talks truth. DJ, listen, DJ's trying, all right? DJ's out here doing the best he can, okay? Things have been...
DJ tries.
Yeah, it's hard out there. He's doing the best he can, all right? Roxy, speaking of Twitter handles, where can people find you? What are you doing on World Girls? What are you...
I'm just like Queen Fife herself. I'm just at Roxy Stryer. So, you know, it's easy to find me there. The World Girls, I'm really excited. We're actually launching a podcast on 420.
Yay.
Called Bitch Out of Water. Ooh. For all of those people who ever felt like a fish out of water. And we're really excited. We're launching with three episodes on 420. One of them is going to be a cannabis related episode.
Mm.
One of them is going to be on being poly. Dorina talks about being polyamorous and opening up her marriage and deciding to have a boyfriend and a husband and tips for people who might be interested in that. And the other one is moving to Los Angeles, because we get that question a lot. Like, how did you do it? How much money did you have in your bank account when you did it? Where did you live? What first job did you work? So those are the three we're launching.
working with Be On The Lookout, Bitch Out Of Water.
It's so fun. The Los Angeles one's like, that is interesting. And it's those just those questions right off the bat. I'm like, well, that was probably more thought than I put into it when I...
Some people, like, there's all these, I was Googling to see what information is out there. And there's all these guides that are like, you need to have 3 months rent saved up before you get here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I had $7 in my bank account.
Yeah. So,
like,
I mean, that's not that that's not good advice. It probably is. I just, I didn't think about that at the time.
Yeah, it is. So
it's kind of like, what is ideal versus like, what can you make work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, invest in a box of tissues for all the crying you're probably going to do.
Also, I think as somebody who did actually have some money saved up, I don't know that that's actually necessarily any better because you go through that money quickly because you feel like I have a choice and cushion, I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm going to only take a job that I really want. It's like, no, you should probably just get a job.
Yeah, just get a job. Yeah, and also, totally. Also, it's like 97 degrees out. Maybe don't. Maybe don't.
Maybe don't. LA, come out. Yeah. No. Yeah. So we talk about all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Go check all that out. Yeah. Oh, man. It sounds so great. Listen, check that out. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash, as we just talked about. You can find the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Emma. We will see you all next week, where we will probably, despite our best interest, talk about the new Fantastic Beasts movie. Oh no. Stay tuned for that. Still trying to figure out how we're going to cover it. Stay tuned for that. We'll see y'all next time. Bye, everybody.